Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to John. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? The Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship God neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. We worship what we do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is here now when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. For God seeks such as this to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that a Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So the Samaritans came to him. They asked him to stay with him, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, well, well. I mean, if you look in the bulletin, right, Sheldon? It says, well, well, well. It is the third Sunday in Lent, and this, again, is a gospel from the Gospel of John. Last week, we heard Nicodemus and the story about him coming in the night from Pastor Carey. And now we have another story from the Gospel of John that is not in any of the other Gospels. It's not in Matthew or Mark or Luke, this story about the woman at the well. It's another story that has lots and lots and lots of layers. Some of them are transforming and others of them are troubling. An unnamed Samaritan woman, she never has a name in the story, encounters a thirsty Jewish stranger at Jacob's well. And the man asks her, dares to ask her for a drink. And it's a daring request because Jesus is crossing every boundary possible. All the significant social boundaries of religion and ethnicity. A lot of us have heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we think about it as the good guy who crossed the road, but it really should be called the parable of the good outcast, the parable of the good outsider. Jews and Samaritans had a little bit of a feud, according to the Bible. And so this was crossing every boundary, not to mention the fact that she is a woman alone, and he is speaking to her. He knows all the things of the social conformities, and he's breaking them all. He knows the rules. He knows his Torah. And she is a woman in a man's world. But we hear a voice that she can't understand completely why he's asking her for a drink. And he says in the gospel, "Give me a drink," which I hear when I was growing up. My parents used to say, "Gimme died and the hogs ate him." You weren't allowed to say, "Give me anything." You said, "May I please have a drink?" So it's interesting social conformity. Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And then in this voice that she doesn't completely understand, and all of these social conformities that she knows are being broken, she hears some cryptic talk about water and thirst and the well. He has no bucket, she does. She's practical, he's not. She knows the history of the well and that it comes from the ancestors, and it has provided life for her and her people for hundreds of years. And she's saying, "Surely you don't pretend to be greater than our ancestors, Leah and Rachel and Jacob. And what's all this thing about living water?" Or as Pastor John said at lectionary study on Wednesday, she looked at him and said, "Riddle me, Batman." Because it doesn't make any sense, you know. I mean, it's cryptic talk. She's talking about water that gives her life. She has to go there every day. She has to draw that water from the well. But she seems to be willing to engage this stranger in theological debate, and she challenges his authority over and against the ancestors of the faith. This encounter at the well begins a real journey for her, a journey that then has Jesus saying to her, well, go call your husband and come back here. And she says, "I don't have a husband." And then the writer of John gives us a moment where Jesus is a complete mind reader, a reader of all life. And she says, okay, so you're right. I don't have a husband. Which, by the way, in my life means I don't have anything. If she didn't have a husband, she didn't have food. If she didn't have a husband, she's gleaning from the fields. If she doesn't have a husband, she has no protection. She's dependent on charity. She has no way to support herself. And Jesus points out to her, "Well, you've had five husbands, and the man that you live with now isn't your husband." But he also says to her, "What you say is true." Jesus doesn't say, "Shame on you," or he doesn't call her a sinner. He doesn't point his finger and say, well, what do we have here, a woman who's not married? He doesn't even say that he forgives her. He simply says, "Sister, what you have said is true." And her response is to put down her water jar, which is the most important possession she probably owns, and run back to the city. Her response, this unnamed woman at the well, is to tell the people what she has experienced. She met a man who told her everything she had ever done. I like to imagine that the Samaritan woman and Jesus had a really long conversation that day. that she felt understood, that she felt that someone really knew her, and not that she had five husbands and lived with a man that was not her husband. Surely that is not the sum of everything she had ever done in her life. But that this woman, this outsider, a Samaritan woman, found Jesus to be a healing presence in her life. So much that she left her water jug, her lifeline, and ran back to the city and called to the other people and said, "Listen, come and listen to a man that took away my humiliation and my stigmatization, somebody who saw me and loved me anybody, took away my status as nobody. Come and listen to a man who did not turn away from me because of who I am, who did not rebuke my questions but talked to me as if I were important. Come and hear the good news that this man has revealed to me, that I am loved." The encounter at the well has an honesty about it that lays open her past, yet she does not leave the well ashamed by the conversation or the confession. Instead, the encounter with Jesus is a revelation of God's unconditional love and grace. And that love emboldened her to go and tell her friends and her neighbors. The woman is freed for discipleship because she is loved, becoming a witness for God's love in the world as she has seen through her encounter with Jesus, this Jewish man who would ask her for a drink of water. The woman at the well begins the story as an outsider, and then she feels as if she has been accepted. She has been made well. She has been known fully and loved. Well, well, well. She came to the well that day. Jesus heard her, knew her, and she was made well. The man who told her everything she ever did and loved her anyway. Is that not life-saving? Is that not what we call salvation? Well, well, well. If nothing else, it's a heck of a story. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.